swing and a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, let's go. Play Tessie, episode 254. It's the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. We really appreciate that. And as always, find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, and in spirit, man, we're all here with Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony is 21 years old, playing his first game in Yankee Stadium on the day that Ken Rosenthal wrote an article with an Alex Cora quote, essentially comparing him to Juan Soto and Barry Bonds. And he goes out there, and to say he inserted himself into the rivalry would be a massive, massive understatement. Because it's one thing, and we're just jumping right in here because this game just ended. I mean, I'm jacked up, man. It would be one thing to just to hit a big home run. It's another to hit a home run in that spot. The magnitude and the distance of it, the height, the distance, the second deck, he crushed the ball, and then he delivered a bat flip that he has not yet delivered in the major leagues yet. Like, we saw that kind of bat flip when the fan yelled overrated at him in the Futures game, and then he crushed the homer. Like, we saw it there, and that was great. Don't get me wrong, I love the Futures game. The big three all hit home runs in it. I had fun. But there's nothing that matches watching a guy like Roman Anthony, a guy that I fall more and more in love with him as a player every single time. Every single day I get to watch this guy, and he just does something new every day. And today it was easily his most impactful and his best and his most exciting swing as a major leaguer. And that includes the walk-off against Houston. Like, this was everything. And I just, they had to have this game, and he made sure it happened. Made sure that Chapman was going to enter that game with more than a one-run lead against the heart of the Yankees order. And, man, we're just lucky to have him. We are.
That's the type of moment that you replay for years and years and years, and in a few years when Roman Anthony is in the middle of his prime, we'll still be replaying that, remembering it as the first one to happen at Yankee Stadium, the first big moment, and then the bat flip. Oh my God. Just unbelievable. Aura, as the kids like to say. And what went through my head right after that moment, thought I had, what could Yankees fans be thinking right now? Oh no. We've got to deal with this for the long, long, long-term future. And this is just the beginning. How could you not be excited? Again, another one of those nights where I have friends and family who aren't big Red Sox fans, you know, casual observers at best, texting me about the game, texting me about Roman Anthony. It just feels like we haven't had that sort of feeling in so long. I'm elated right now. Feels great.
Hey, Pat, guess what?
Yeah, what?
Yankees lose.
Not in 5 minutes. Anyway, so one thing that I've grown tonight was, I just want to like emphasize the bat flip, because Roman is quite, and I don't know if you guys agree, but between everyone we've talked to, like everyone, whatever, he's like the most like no sweat off my back guy. Like, he's just always like so calm, cool, whatever. Even like, every game he's played so far, it's just like he's been there for a decade. Like, home run, let me drop the bat, run the bases, put the head on, high five the fellas. The walk-off, all right, fine, I'll smile. The bat flip is the biggest fuck you ever. And I mean that sincerely.
Yeah.
Because from a guy, so like, I love watching Tatis. I love watching Acuna. I love watching Harper. I like how so far Roman has saved the emotion for like the meaningful things. Like, when you see him do a bat flip, when you see him go nuts on the base, Like, there's emotion behind it. This isn't like just the default kind of like celebration, whatever. He feels it when he celebrates. That Pat, bat flip.
What you're saying is he doesn't aura farm.
No, sure. Run with it. Print.
We are
print
very young papers. And hip today. Wow.
But he doesn't. He doesn't. So when he shows emotion like the bat flip, like, you know, with every fiber of his being, he's just like, I am that fucking guy. And just flips the bat on the ground and jogs. That home run, I imagine, will be played as much as the Rafi homer off of Chapman in 18.
That's a good point. I like that. That's a great comp. Pat.
You know what he does, though? He's 21 years old, and he makes playing Major League Baseball look easy. Think about that.
Yeah. It's like with the approach, and that's when you talk about Roman Anthony, the approach is the first thing that you think about, because it's just he's 21 years old, but it looks like a guy who's been in the major. They say it too, like a 10-year vet. That's what he looks like when he plays a game, like a 10-year vet. And there isn't a player on the team really right now that has the approach that he does. Maybe Alex Bregman, but the patience and just he doesn't swing at balls. And when there's a close pitch that's called a strike, he's usually right. Like, it's usually like it happened today. He was right. The ump was wrong. It puts him in the best positions to get to. He puts himself in good positions to get shit done. And he had the game tying single in the sixth inning, which at the time felt enormous. Like, we were gushing about him then. It wasn't even that like that well of a hit ball, but he put himself in a position, gotten a good count, drove in the run. Like, this game was so weird because it stayed low scoring and close for a little bit, but it didn't feel like it should have been. But you still had this guy step up to the plate in the biggest spots, and it didn't matter that the rest of his team wasn't hitting with runners in scoring position. It didn't matter that the game is close and it's his first game in Yankee Stadium. Like, none of that matters because he's as cool, calm, and collected as they come, and he just got the job done. He did.
Absolutely. And I love him leading off. I think that's such a good spot. They were talking on the Fox broadcast tonight, saying it was almost strange, almost questioning Alex Cora in a way, having him hit leadoff. I think that's the perfect spot. He's on base all the time, and obviously, to a lesser degree, it gives that feeling of when Ohtani is coming up from the Dodgers. He's three batters away. He's two batters away. Roman's not there yet, but it's a similar concept to where you're just thinking about, oh, God, I got to get these 8-9 guys out. Can't have them on base for Roman Anthony. Or he's starting off the inning and he's getting on base for guys like Bregman and Duran. I hope he doesn't move from that leadoff spot for forever, maybe.
To me, he's already a star in this league. Is that crazy to say? Because, like, was that on the podcast where we had the conversation? Is he already the best player on the team? And it was like, it's either Roman or Bregman. And, like, debate all you want on that, but Bregman's a star. No one debates that. So I think it's not crazy to say that Roman's a star already.
No, I think you're right. I don't think it's crazy to say Roman's a star. If there were a guy like Marcy on the Marlins who wasn't as highly touted, who put up numbers like Roman, I wouldn't say the same thing. But we expect this from Roman Anthony. This is the kind of player we thought we were getting when he came up through the organization. So yeah, I don't think it's too soon to say he's a star. And I think, again, he's not even near his prime. He's just going to keep getting better. And you can just think on that for a while, how good this kid's going to be. But yeah, man, how could you say he's not a star already?
He was busting, wasn't he?
anywho, one thing real quick. I found the numbers on Roman. Not including tonight, obviously. Out of the leadoff spot, he's been there for 20 games. 13 singles, 4 doubles, a triple, 2 home runs, 16 runs, 8 RBI, 15 walks. Yeah, 303 average. His OPS out of that spot is 931. His OBP from the leadoff spot is 446.
Well, that's the key right there. It's you whether it's 2-3 or 1-2 or whatever, having him and Bregman hitting back to back is important. But when you got a guy who gets on base at the rate he does, who walks, puts together long at bats, quality at bats the way he does, like having that plus Bregman who does the same thing to start games. Like, they had 24 pitches on heel in the first inning, or was it more?
Yep, 24.
24 in the first inning. And that happens a lot. And we talked about it in the group chat, how like sometimes this team, they'll put a bunch of, they'll work a guy in the first inning for 20 plus pitches, maybe sometimes 30, and then they still are able to go six. And the reason that it's like that is because the first inning has Roman and Bregman in it, and not every inning does. Like those two back to back, though, even if it doesn't always force pitchers out of the game early, it puts the pressure on early. Guys have to work their ass off early.
Yeah, I mean, look at Luis Gil tonight. He looked. I won't get too much about this. I can't believe the Red Sox didn't put up six runs on that guy. He looked terrible. And we were all saying in the chat after the first inning, they didn't score a run, but that was great. 24 pitches, got a lot of guys through the order to see him the first time. So, the runners in scoring position thing, I don't know if it's... Do you guys get concerned when the Red Sox don't hit? Because I wouldn't classify it as that. I get frustrated because there's annoying. No part of me that thinks they're not going to bounce back. It's just tonight, are they going to do it? I'm not sure. Tomorrow, are they? I'm not sure. Tough way to win games the way they did tonight.
Yeah, annoyed. Not concerned, annoyed. That's how
I am.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it's more so frustrating because it's never like a game or two. Like it feels like they just go 0 for like 132 and then they score like 15 runs like four games in a row. But going back to Roman in the leadoff spot, I love that style of leadoff hitter. He can walk. He's probably not going to strike out. He might hit for power. He might put one down the line. If he singles, he might steal set. Like everything you want out of a baseball player, never mind a leadoff guy, a baseball player. Roman Anthony is average to well above average in every facet. This is going to sound insane. Insane, but I believe it. Not saying he's there yet by any means of the by any means. His style and him in that leadoff spot is kind of like what Mike Trout used to hit leadoff.
Well, okay, I was just gonna ask.
There we go.
So I was just gonna ask Pat. That was a perfect segue. Cora compared Roman to Barry Bonds and Juan Soto, as Gordo said earlier. He did that today,
and Roman backed it up.
Yes, but Roman hits leadoff, and I was trying to think, like, who is the best comp? And I know Mike Trout was your guy just now, but he's a righty, and he was also a speed guy, too. Roman's more of an on-base. I'm like, I can't think of, like, I'm not saying this is good or bad. I just can't think of a guy with his player profile who hits leadoff, plays good defense, too. Like, who would that be?
It's weird because... He's basically Kyle Tucker with a little bit more speed, maybe a little bit more speed, better on base skills for sure. So he's like not exactly Kyle Tucker, but he's nowhere near the speed of like Acuna in that one spot. Like it's this weird blend of like a bunch of stuff you'd want, but no one like is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's everything. And whether he's in the leadoff spot long term, like I could totally see him being a two hitter long term. I don't know. Like it really depends on the team around him. Like for this particular team, the 2025 Red Sox, like, yeah, he is the best guy for that leadoff spot. And it's working. So don't mess with it. But rest of this game, Roman Anthony, obviously the star, made the most noise in the game. But I would say the second MVP of the game is a group. This was a bullpen masterclass, save for the Justin Wilson. That was he not on his game today. Doesn't generally walk a lot of guys, and he walked two of them today. Went a third of an inning, three base runners, let in the inherited run for Giolito. But after that, Weiser, an inning and a third, came back out there for Stanton after sitting down for a long time, got the out. Matz comes in, lets the triple up immediately, gets the huge strikeout of Jazz and gets the next out. Whitlock comes in and is walking back to the dugout before you could even blink. And then Chapman is Chapman. Like that's four and a third innings where really only one third of an inning was problematic for, I guess the Mats one was like, it was a little hairy, but I mean, it was like one hit and it bounced off the wall. Like you're allowed to let up a hit. Like every single one of those guys came in and showed out, save for Wilson there. And to me, like with all the conversation about the bullpen lately, and it's not been unjustified, but it's just reminder that, yes, the bullpen has been problematic, but it's not been the guys at the top. It's been the bottom of the bullpen. So when you're winning games, for the most part, this unit has been able to keep those leads. Like, obviously, you had the one against the Marlins. That's when you had to put a guy in Weiser in a spot that he generally shouldn't be in. But in a game like today, you need to eat 4 1/3. You've got the guys to do it, and that's before Slayton comes back. Like, it's going to get stronger.
Yeah, I still think they need to get him back ASAP.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the bullpen goes, for me, I really only feel, you know, like above 75% confidence, fairly confident about Whitlock and Chapman. Mats has been really good, but for some reason, I just don't feel supremely confident when he's in there. He hasn't been, I don't feel bad. I'm just not like when Whitlock's in there, I feel super confident that he will get the job done. Chapman is almost automatic at this point. And Justin Wilson has kind of fallen off. So I really only two guys for me right now. Not to be a downer, but.
Well, there's levels to it.
That's how I feel.
There's automatic, and then there's guys you feel good. Like, obviously, this game was super tight, one-run game the whole way. You knew that any run allowed could be the difference between a win and a loss. Generally, most of these guys, I mean, I think Mats and Weiser could be piggybacking some tight sixth and seventh inning spots, but generally, for the most part, like, I don't think you're going to see Justin Wilson in a lot of tight games with the way the pen is right now. I just like today's game. Well, you've got Mats right now is their best lefty.
Yeah, I just don't know if I feel good about that in like a playoff scenario. I like him as the second lefty, but you know, I'm nitpicking right now. We'll see. There's a lot of time until we even get there. He could step up.
I mean, as a reliever, he's been good all year. He's been really good for the Red Sox. The only problem he had was the home run against the Marlins on a pitch that was like 3 inches off the plate. Pat?
I think it's just the stuff doesn't jump out at me. I'm being too hard on him. He's been good.
Well, the other thing too I was going to say is ideally, yeah, Sammy, right? You have that lefty. But one thing, and I don't know if I'm necessarily crazy about it, but throwing Chapman before the ninth and then giving the ninth to Whitlock or Slayton. Like, that's always an option that Coors done a couple of times this year. I don't know if I would necessarily, you know, to trot Steve Metz out there in the eighth, but close game, sixth, seventh, like a leverage spot, not as setup or closer. Right now, I feel fine with Metz there. I feel okay with that. Whenever Slayton comes back, I feel good with that. Whitlock, Chapman, I have like 95% trust in. I have no doubts in them. Isaiah Campbell, Jordan Hicks, suck ass. I don't want to see them anywhere in a game where the lead is less than a grand slam. Wilson is kind of starting to slide a little bit for me, and I want to know where you guys stand on that.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't looked the same in some time. I know he battled some injuries and took a lot of time off, and really since that stuff started, he's been, I don't want to say consistently down, because he's had some good outings, but I mean, earlier in the year, he was pretty automatic. And like, yeah, he's 38, right? Do I have that right? He's 38.
Yep. Yeah.
38. So like, it's not that crazy to see a guy at his age who hasn't had the success that he's had this year in a long time kind of teeter off towards the end as he's been used a pretty good amount this year. So, I mean, in that sense, like I wish they added a righty at the deadline, but it is good that you've got guys, that you've got lefties in Mats and in Bernie, who Bernie is very well rested right now. Like, he threw four games in 20 days when he was sent down. Like, that was basically a 3 week vacation for Bernie. And now he's fresh and he's back. So if Wilson falters, like, you've got other options.
Yeah, and Bernie looked good in his first outing back.
Yeah.
Here's a weird Justin Wilson stat. Kind of strange. So he's pitched 7 games in August. 4.2 innings. Very weird. Barely goes when he goes.
Yeah. I mean, he is the definition of lefty specialist. I mean, the splits are crazy. And like, you could see with the spot they put him in today, like, he was there to get one out. I don't think he was coming back out for another inning if he got that out. Granted, and then he ended up throwing like 20 pitches. Obviously, he didn't. But
21 pitches, 8 strikes for him tonight. That can't
it was
happen.
Uncharacteristic.
That's scary. And to his credit, the hit he gave up was like a little doink.
Yeah,
a little doink. But but still, you got to lock in. He was all over the place. That was the inning. That was when it was 3-2, and we were all celebrating like we had just survived the most terrifying moment of all time.
Yeah, they went down 3-2, and then the Yankees left the bases loaded.
Right. That was the theme.
These teams were addicted to leaving guys on base.
They were both trying to win and lose the game at the same time against each other. So who really won?
So I'm in a fantasy baseball league, and there's a shit ton of Yankees in the league. And I think it was after the fifth or sixth inning, I said, I'm being completely serious. Both teams should get a loss in the loss column for this game. Like, through five innings, it was so ugly. The Hamilton getting picked off.
That whole inning. That whole inning.
Yeah, like, just leaving runners stranded. Yankees had three errors.
In one inning.
Yeah, Heel walking the merry-go-round, Giolito just not being able to put guys out. Like, it was so ugly through, I think, five or six, and then it got really good.
Sammy?
There were a lot of innings where they would end and they'd cut to commercial, and my first thought would be, okay, I'll take it, but it could have been better. Yeah. A lot of that tonight with, oh, you only got one? Oh, the offense has been so cold. I guess I'll take the one.
But the other way around, too, there was, they got one, but it could have been way worse. Oh, God, they could have had three. They could have four. They had the bases loaded. So, yeah, both sides. But the Red Sox bullpen, really starting with Weissert. Once Weissert came into the game, it was curtains from that point on. Like, Mats had the guy on third. But, yeah, there were no more, like, oh, that third inning. Or was it the second when Hamilton got picked off third and the Yankees, Jazz throws the ball into the stands. And then Ben Rice throws the ball into center field. What was the third error they had in that? Oh, the pitcher, Heel had the error on the Hamilton ground ball that got him to first base.
Yoshida. It was Yoshida, no?
I think that was another inning. Yoshida also reached on.
Yes, an error. Okay, you're right.
We're losing track of the errors.
It was bad.
Yeah.
four errors by the Yankees, one by the Red Sox, a five-error game. But before we move on from the bullpen, there's one guy we didn't mention. Richard Fitz got up and warming today. Like, we'll talk about the Walker Buehler stuff a little bit later in the show because his name got brought up as a potential starter for there too. So I don't really know exactly what's going on with Richard Fitz. I don't know if Richard Fitz knows exactly what's going on with Richard Fitz, but he got called up. Isaiah Campbell got optioned, and the initial reporting was that Richard Fitz was getting called up to work out of the pen. And let's talk about this for a little bit because my thoughts on Richard Fitz, I mean, this is a guy that we've seen touch 99 as a starter. Like, we've seen him up there as a starter. No reason to believe he can't hit triple digits out of the bullpen or at minimum sit high 90s. Like, in a one or maybe two inning role, like, no reason to believe he can't be sitting 98. And with a guy like Fitz, whose one real wart is that his stuff kind of teeters off towards the end of games or towards the end of his outings, and maybe third time through is when he struggles, a reliever role. Like, obviously, I want long-term, I want to see them continue to try to get Richard Fitz to where maybe he can go as a starter. But for this team, like, that's how you get a right-handed arm in this bullpen. Like, we talk over and over again how their righties are. It's Whitlock, Weissert, Hicks, Campbell, and it's like you trust one and a half of those guys. Richard Fitz could end up quickly becoming, and not counting Slayton, because obviously Slayton will be up there, but before Slayton, he could quickly become your second most trusted righty in the bullpen. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think he just needs to throw strikes. If he throws strikes and the stuff ticks up a little bit, I think it could work. That's the simplest version of it. I do agree, Gordo. The issue with him, along with command, is the stuff ticking down. So this role, maybe even long-term, not right now. I think the Red Sox are going to continue using him as a starting pitcher, as they should. But if long-term, if that doesn't work, I think Fitz, regardless, will find a role in Major League Baseball, and it'll be interesting to see him coming out of the bullpen here in the next few days.
Yeah, I think one thing, too, regarding Fitz is, I think it was two episodes ago, we were talking about, like, the fifth pit, basically the replacements for Buehler in the rotation. And I think in the same episode, or maybe it was on radio with Rob, I can't remember, we were talking about, like, Tolley or Sandlin coming up to be, like, this postseason weapon, blah, blah, blah. There's a real chance that Richard Fitz can be a very legit postseason weapon. Just like Pivetta in 21, like a starter who's used to starting and pitching more than, three, four innings. if you can just take all of that away and get the best out of him for 6 to 8 batters, that is a legit weapon. Like, that is your gap to starter going 4 to your 7, 8, 9 guy. And if he can succeed in this role, they're in a much better spot in the postseason, in my opinion. Much better.
Yeah, you're just way deeper from the right side, which they need. It's a really, like, the way this bullpen is constructed, I feel like I've never seen a bullpen stacked with the amount of quality lefties they have while also being kind of shallow from the right side. It's just, you don't see bullpens built like that. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what he's got. I we'll talk about the Buehler stuff next, I guess, but like, he might start, I don't know, but I want to see him in the bullpen role. I think that's how he can help this team. I think that's how he can be the greatest help to this team, because I think there's other options that can provide similar output as a starter. But like, I don't like, you can't put like Kyle Harrison in the bullpen, A, because he's a lefty, but B, he's you're not going to mess with that. Like, you're trying to work him as a starter. Peyton Tolley, obviously you could see him out of the bullpen. He's a lefty. David Sandlin, he's a righty, but he struggled. I know he's a little bit better today, but you got to give that some time. Like, you can't rush that. So Fitz can provide something out of the bullpen right away that, until Justin Slayton is back, and when he's back, it'll be a conversation because you're going to have to figure out someone to option or DFA or something. But until that point, like, you do need something to keep you afloat. And I think, and we'll see it maybe even today, if you're listening, Friday, Saturday, like, with the amount of relievers they used, Richard Fitz is probably going to come into play here. And he's going to get thrown right in the fire. He hasn't pitched out of the bullpen at all. Like, he's thrown one career game out of the bullpen, and it was a piggyback thing. So he's never done this. That said, I have full faith that he can just jump in and do it. I believe in the guy. Pat?
Yeah, I think if I were a betting man, I think he gets into – if you're listening on drop day, I think he gets into today's game. Because they went through Whitlock, Chapman, Weissert, Slayton – or not Slayton, Wilson, and Matz. Those are, like, that's a good chunk of your reliable guys. So tomorrow, granted, Whitlock threw, I think, the easiest inning he's thrown all year. That was
how many
insane.
Pitches was that? It had maybe, to be less than maybe, 7.
Yeah, I would say maybe 10. But either way, so tomorrow you have 7. Bayo. Yeah, like
it was literally
nuts.
7. That's crazy.
So you have Bayo tomorrow. Fitz could factor in there. You have kind of this fine line. You could kind of tiptoe tomorrow if you need it. Whitlock could absolutely go tomorrow, but that means he's down for game 3, but then, you know, Crochet's going 3. Like, there's a lot to factor in here, but I think Fitz gets into the Friday night game. I think that's his best odds of contributing this series. If not then Sunday.
Please score some runs. Like, that's how you get your bullpen through the series. Score a bunch of runs, Bayo holds it down, you're ahead by a good amount, you can throw Fitz for an inning or two, and hopefully you can let some of your arms rest and maybe only need to throw one or two of those guys on back-to-backs and let Chapman or Whitlock rest. But I mean, we're just going to have, they're going to have to be aggressive. Like, these are super important games.
So Max Fried on drop day, if you're listening on drop day, Friday, Max Fried pitching for the Yankees, last 3 outings, 5 innings, 4 earned runs, 5 innings, 4 earned runs again, 5 innings, 7 earned runs. So he's not hot right now.
Oh, cold, Sammy, I'll,
dare I say.
Sammy, and I'll do you one better. He has like a 6.8 ERA his last 8 starts.
Beautiful.
And the team is 2-6, I think, or 2-5 in his last. No, I think they're 2-6 in his last 8 starts, and he has over 6.5 ERA. Or over 6 at least, I know that.
Max Fried in his last 8 starts has a 6.8 ERA, and in those 8 starts, only one of those 8 was under 4 earned runs.
Yeah.
That said, I wish they had Ref Snyder. We can talk about the password. Maybe we jump in here and talk about the password getting the call. There's a lot to get into on this podcast.
He's getting in there, dude. This is it. He's getting in there against Fried. He's getting in there.
Yeah, he's at minimum starting Friday and Sunday. Those are the lefty games. Like, obviously, like, welcome to the big leagues, man. Like, you're facing Max Fried and Carlos Rodon in those games, and maybe you'll get a pinch hit chance at some point against Tim Hill or something. I think they're going to try to limit him to the lefties, and I don't know how long he's going to be up, because when Willier comes back, you're going to have to make a decision. But it was weird. Like, we've talked about, you know, how up and down he kind of is. I don't, maybe not up and down's the wrong word, but maybe we're not as high on him as a prospect as the numbers in AAA would suggest you would be. That said, him getting the call up today was electric, because it, for whatever reason, him getting the call reminded me just how awesome the nickname The Password is. Like, that might be one of the top two or three nicknames in sports today already. Like, what is better than The Password? I can't even think of anything.
His brother, the username.
The username. Johan.
Is Password? Password. Oh, Producer Joe, okay, makes a good point. Big good Dumper point, is really
big
good.
Big Dumper is great.
But Password might be the first baseball player to debut in MLB already with the best nickname in the game.
It's a good point.
Who comes up with a nickname?
Sports with a good nickname. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Usually don't enter with one already. Like, who can anyone have a nickname?
I have one that I thought of. I don't know if it was before or after he came up, but like Ken Griffey, the Kid.
Ooh, I don't know.
That's a great nickname too. Yeah. I have no idea. Sammy be the only one who could remember that debut. So maybe you tell us.
No, I don't remember. I'm so old, my memory's failing me.
Ah, shucks. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for The Password. Like, I hate that it because, like, you knew the second you saw the news that he was getting called up that it was going to mean Willier was going on the IL, and like, obviously that was a possibility, even though they always, you know, try to play it. Oh, he might only miss a couple games and he'll be back, and it's always worse than they say. But I'm still happy for the kid. I'm excited to see him. Maybe it's a jolt of energy that I don't know. I mean, they don't need it anymore. Tonight was as big of a jolt of energy as you could have ever asked for. But seeing that guy come up here and get into that old car, missing the fucking wheel. What's it called? I had to look up the word hubcap. I had to literally look that word up to tweet that today. But I thought it was so fucking funny that the car that they're driving, won a top 100 prospect.
Wait. You didn't know what a hubcap was?
It was a word I knew. But it was definitely not on the tip of my tongue. Joe?
Welcome to the club, Gordo.
You didn't know what a hubcap was?
I thought that was everyone knew it.
No, I knew what a hubcap was. This was months ago. Like, one of my Nuff Seds was like, I thought someone had stolen my hubcap. but I called it a hubcap.
Ah.
Oh. Okay.
That was the thing. Oh, I knew what God. It was,
now you can't drive in the hub lane. Oh, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. The HOV cap.
I will say, Gordo, though, dumb, not knowing what it is probably worse than me.
I knew what it was. The word wasn't on the tip of my tongue. I knew exactly. When I put it into the AI machine, I was like, what is that thing that's like the metal part of the middle of the wheel? And it's like, it's a hubcap. And I was like, I knew that. I knew that word.
You're so pop culture illiterate with everything, even
that's
cars.
Not true. I knew what aura farming was.
True.
Yeah, that's right.
True.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
I love when Joe just dips. Joe just goes backstage. All right, later.
He's like, shit.
Nerds.
Aura farming was. God damn it. Oh, my God.
I love that term. I love, not to sound like an old man, but like that term, those kids cooked with those it. Aura farming. It's great. It's so good. I use it a lot. I feel like a boomer when I do it, but I don't care. Aura farming. Yeah.
But shout out Password. I'm excited to see his debut. Those at bats. I love when top 100 guys come up, like, regardless of whether they're number one like Roman or if they're like bottom of the top 100 like Michael Chavis was, when one of those guys comes up and makes their debuts, like, it's must watch at bats. It always is.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of how good you think they're going to be, it's always fun to see the new guys, and it's a fun injection of energy in the middle of a long season. Sammy?
Do you guys think he straightens his hair?
He must.
That'd be a lot of work, but maybe.
He must, right?
It's so straight. It's shockingly straight down the back of his head and onto his shoulders. Talking about The Password here. He has to, right?
Yeah, maybe he does.
Do people naturally have hair that straight? I mean, I
have no idea.
Yeah. I got the curls.
I was shocked at when I learned that there's a lot of women who wear hair extensions. So like the hair game, it's just like, it's way out of my realm of expertise. I know nothing.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch some reality TV. I know all about extensions.
Hey, I've been watching Love Island. Those ladies put on makeup multiple times a day, and they sit in that makeup room.
I got a text.
I got a text.
I got a text.
All right, let's okay, we'll go. Let's go to Bueller here, and then we can kind of close it out with talking some of the rest of the series. But the news today, it's not really news. It's more just like a rumor slash a report from, I think it was from Mass Live, that Sox are talking about removing Bueller from the rotation. And then, I mean, it was kind of clear as day. They asked Cora about Bueller, and he basically said, they asked him if he's going to make his next start against Baltimore. And he basically said, we haven't talked about it yet, which is basically, yeah, we're not ready to tell you that yet, but yeah, that's what's happening. And to me, like, it's probably the right time to do it. I mean, I probably would have done it before, but talk about a team that, what, he walked four, only went four innings, and now you're going to have him see that same exact team again, and that's a team that you'd probably be better suited throwing a lefty at, which is where I'm getting at, where I would personally go to Kyle Harrison for this start. We've had the conversation before, but with Bueller, it doesn't sound like he's going to get DFA'd. It sounds like maybe they're going to put him in the bullpen and he's going to become a mop-up guy, which I am totally fine with. He might even be available in the series against the Yankees, maybe towards the back end of it, last two games. But I mean, to me, it is time. It's not that he's not capable of putting together a good start. It's just that he could put together a good start and then you still have no idea what you're going to get the next start. Like with Dustin May, when he put together a good start and he looked really good, it's like, okay, maybe he can string something together. Giolito, it was rough, but he put together a couple of good starts and it's like, okay, we can work with some of what we're seeing here. With Bueller, he has one good start and then it's completely gone the next. You have no idea what you're going to get. And there's really, at this point, nothing he can do to make me believe start to start that you're going to get quality. And at that point, it's at the end of the season. Depth matters less. Just make the move. Take a shot at trying someone else that maybe you can get more out of.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say to argue in favor of anything regarding Walker Bueller changing a role? It's just been Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know who you're getting from start to start. And I don't think he could complain either. He has to understand. He seems, if anything, the one thing he's done right all year long is said everything correct to the media. He's taken it on the chin. It's been rough to listen to. He's a veteran. He's been an all-star. He's been a World Series champion, but it just hasn't been that way in 2025. So I'm not supremely confident he's going to be great out of the bullpen because it's command issues. It's repeating his delivery issues, it seems like. That's why he's been struggling. It's not as much a stuff thing. Like, his stuff is down a bit, but he still throws a mid-90s fastball. The slider's still good. He's got other pitches. So it's worth a shot. Don't feel great about it, but also can't argue with it.
Yeah, I think the whole thing with Bueller is just you're at the point in the season where you really need every game. Like, there's no such thing as, like, every game is not a must win, but you need to win as many games as you can down the stretch. That's the case all season long, obviously. But, I mean, you're talking about three games out of the wild card completely, but you're a half game out of hosting the wild card round. Like, the margin of error is so small, you need every game going forward. You need to position yourself to win every game going forward. Walker Bueller doesn't give you the best chance to win. He does not. We're at that point in the season. He does not. Completely other part of this, business part of this, I believe he gets $500,000 for every two starts from this point forward.
Yeah.
Not right. Worth it. Yeah.
Till 28 starts. So he's got, I think this one would be his 23rd, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a few 500K payments that they'll be saving by not starting him.
Yeah. So you look at it as in, you not only give yourself the best chance to win by not pitching him and going with Fitz, Harrison, whoever you want to go, but then you also, in totality, probably save yourself $2.5-3 million.
Yeah, Pat, I think you bring up a really good point with every game matters. Like, you can look at the playoff race and just making the postseason, and they're in a really good spot to do that. With the schedule remaining, I know they've lost a lot of games recently, but this is a good team that has shown. I mean, they go hot, they go cold, they go hot, they go cold. Like, they're going to go hot and they're going to make the playoffs. But to me, that home field advantage in the first wild card round is so important for this team that is that is so good at home and so average at best on the road, except for Yankee Stadium. So yeah, I really do think, and that's why this series is so important, and that like why I've been, you know, sweating this series for the last 2 days, is you need to win this series to put yourself in a good position to host that wild card game. And yeah, removing Buehler from the rotation goes to that too. Like, you have to be aggressive and do what you can to win games. I'm fine with keeping Buehler on the roster, pitching him out of the bullpen. To your point, Sammy, you're right. I don't think he's going to go to the bullpen and all of a sudden find this magic, but can he at least eat a couple innings at the end of blowout losses? Can he preserve 5-6 run leads when you're in the eighth and ninth inning? He should be able to do that. Like, he should, that should not be an issue. Like, he should not, like, he should be better than what Isaiah Campbell was able to give you. And it'll be interesting when Slayton comes back, because spots in the bullpen are going to be limited and you're going to have to make tough decisions. Like, do you option Fitz? Do you option one of the lefties? Like, or it'd probably be Bernie. Like, or do you DFA Buehler at that point? Like, you're going to have tough decisions, but until that point, like, if Buehler can eat three innings at the end of a blowout win or loss, that's a huge win. And we saw why this past weekend against the Marlins.
Yeah, agreed. Worth a shot.
Yeah. So I guess the Buehler experiment is kind of coming to a close. Sammy?
So the idea of DFAing him, I would have a pretty, if he's not in the rotation, he's got a handful of outings to show me something in the bullpen, and then I'm just cutting ties. It's what's the point? We're almost at the finish line. So, I've been patient with the guy all year, too patient. It's ended up hurting them at this point. That said, complete opposite if he's already in the bullpen. There's other guys waiting to get in that role. So if he doesn't show you something quickly, I'd cut ties.
Pat,
what is the cutoff date for if they're not on a roster by X date, they're not postseason eligible? Is it September 1st?
They just have to be in the organization, so they don't have to be on the 40.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, like, they can't.
I more so mean if they DFA him and he tacks on somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, then September. Oh, that's so interesting. wait till September so that just in case you get, like, Brazier Dodgers again, it can't fully hurt you.
Yeah, because, like, I don't think it would happen. I think the chances are so slim. But, I mean, the Yankees just picked up fucking Paul Blackburn today. Mm-hmm. Like, the Yankees took a flyer on Buehler, or please. Houston took a walker on Buehler, or walker on Buehler, a like flyer on Buehler. Buehler. Yeah, just a thought I had, but definitely worth considering.
All right, let's look ahead to the rest of the series real quick before we get to enough said. We talked about it. Max Fried versus Brian Baio on Friday. Garrett Crochet versus Will Warren on Saturday. Dustin May versus Carlos Rodon on Sunday. We haven't done a lot of series look-aheads on this podcast this year, but this series is bigger than any other series they've played this year. How do you guys feel? The Red Sox have already taken the first game. How do you feel about the remaining three?
Good. I was saying off the pod before the series, I would be happy with a split. I'll stick with that just because the Yankees have been really hot. The Red Sox haven't been, but you win on Friday and I'll start thinking of a little bit more than a split. But I think Will Warren actually might be a little difficult. He's been pitching well lately, kind of the reverse of Max Fried, where he started cold. Now he's pitching well. So we'll be interested to see how the Red Sox match up with him. But Fried, famous last words. He's a guy who's been a Cy Young candidate for years. I feel pretty good with how the Red Sox match up with him. Knock on wood. Excited to see Password face him. That's a tough first assignment, regardless of how he's pitching. So, yeah, interesting matchups. And then Rodon, I have no idea, man. That guy is Jekyll and Hyde himself. Sometimes he looks amazing. Sometimes he poops his pants. Sometimes he's yelling and then he's crying 5 minutes later. I don't know. But I can't stand the guy. I hope they whoop him too.
I feel pretty good about the Fried start. Even when he was pitching well, they kind of got to him the last time they played. Fried, I feel pretty good with. I'm not going to say guaranteed win, but I like their chances. Saturday, Will Warren has been really good his last few outings. It's Garrett Crochet. I always feel good with Garrett Crochet on the mound. That it's Chris Sale all over again. I like our chances no matter who he's up against. So the next two games I feel really, really good with. Rodon, and I think it's they haven't announced Dustin May. Yes,
no, they have. They have now.
Okay,
have.
All right.
It was weird. He was up there, and then he was pulled off, and now he's back up.
That's the one I'm a little worried about. Rodon, Sammy said it. He's so hot cold. If you get a hot Rodon and then a Dustin May, who is anything but that Houston Dustin May, I don't love your chances. But again, you don't know what you're going to get with Rodon. Maybe he goes out and sucks. So they could absolutely win the next three. I really like their chances in two of the next three.
Yeah, I think you want to split the next two and put yourself in a position to win the series in the third. Like, as we talked about Max Fried a bunch on the show, Will Warren, it's been two earned runs or less in five straight outings now. And then with Rodon, I mean, we've seen him struggle against the Red Sox at times, and he's walked four plus in three of his last five outings. So kind of the same approach to what you had with Luis Gil today. I'd feel a little bit better about things. Like, I know we're excited to see the password, but I'd feel better about things if you had Ref Snyder out there, obviously, like him and Romy in the same lineup together against lefties is awesome. But it's just, this series is so important. And like, yeah, I'd be fine with a split, but like, this is the type of series where you want to go into Yankee Stadium and leave your mark, and taking three out of four or even sweeping, but just like setting the goal to be, let's take three out of four, meaning let's take two out of the next three and really walk out of there. If you take three out of four, then that means you gain
gain
three, but a two game lead. Sorry.
You'd gain two, three minus one. So you'd gain two, but yep. you'd be ahead of them by half game. So you'd probably be in the first wild card spot. And I think actually you'd certainly be in the first wild card spot, and you'd have really left your mark. Like the Yankees, their hot streak over, lost three out of four. Your cold streak over. You've now won three out of four. Like, this is the time to set the tone for the rest of the season, and it really starts tomorrow or today if you're listening against Max Fried. If you can just start the series off with two wins, we can start thinking frisky things, man. It's either you win the crochet game for three, or if you lose it, you still got a good shot to take three out of four with another good Dustin May start, and you take it to Carlos Rodon like you have in the past.
Make it a narrative too. Make it a Red Sox own the Yankees this year narrative. That's what it's trending towards. What's the record now?
Six and one.
Yeah, make that the narrative. That'd be sick. Do it.
Yep, I love it. It all starts tomorrow. And if they lose on Friday on drop day today, if you're listening today, if they lose today, the conversation changes. So it really is going to be game by game. Like a baseball season is so series by series, but at this point in the year, it really does end up becoming game by game and like minute by minute and pitch by pitch, inning by inning, like. This is when baseball is at its best. And I love that we recorded after the first game of the series for that reason. Like, such a good game. But let's go to Nuff Said. We'll wrap this thing up. Anyone got any Nuff Said that's on the tip of your tongue?
I do.
Pat, what's up?
I could not help but think tonight, after seeing Aroldis Chapman come in, shut the door. Sammy, back in March, saying that by June he would be out of the closer role. We know who he is. He's going to blow up. And he's been the best closer in baseball pretty like unanimously. He's been the best closer in baseball. And
dude, he has a 1.1 ERA right now. I don't understand it. I mean, I thought he would be like a complete disaster as the closer. I thought it was going to be such a mess. And now whenever he comes in, I'm so calm, like it's over. How about the other day, man? I know we didn't talk about this much, but that game two against the Orioles, Chapman had a 13 pitch inning where he threw 13 fastballs, two different types of fastballs, but 13 fastballs and got three strikeouts. The guy's amazing. I'm thrilled to be wrong about him.
I mean, I was excited about what we were seeing earlier this year, and like, I didn't share your opinion about him being out of the closer role or whatever, but anyone who said they saw this coming after how many years has it been since he's done anything close to this?
This is his second best season ever. He's 37 years old. 2015 was the last time he was this good. It's nuts. It makes no sense. I'm thrilled.
When he joined the Cubs, he had a 1.01 ERA after the deadline in 28 games. That year, he had a 1.55. That's 2016. 2015, he had a 1.63. 2012, he had a 1.52. This year, he's got a, well, it's down to a 1.1, you said, Sammy?
1.10.
1.10. Spectacular.
Crazy. Yeah, no, I'm dead wrong about that. Thrilled about it. He's been friggin' awesome. I still maintain, though, I think the bullpen's a guy short. I think they're missing a guy.
They're missing Justin Slayton.
Yep, hopefully he's the guy. So, all right. Yep. So from JP Long, friend of the program, cool little stat he just tweeted out about Roman Anthony. Most times on base in first 59 career games, all at the age of 21 or younger since the year 2000. Juan Soto, 103. And then Roman Anthony tied with Albert Pujols with 102 times on base.
He's all right.
That's some good company to keep.
The Roman Anthony stats about being like the first since Pujols, the youngest since Ted Williams, like the names in these stats are laugh out loud funny. I love every one of those stats.
It's like the tungsten O'Doyle whatever stats with Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. All right. My Nuff said, have not given love on this podcast yet. And I love that all of our Nuff Seds are baseball related because like this is the best time of the baseball season when your team's in it. But our podcast from last episode, if you haven't listened to it, click the one below this. We interviewed Nathaniel Lowe at Fenway Park before his game tying home run. But I love that this dude in his first two starts with the Red Sox is leaving his mark with the team. Hits the game tying home run, and obviously they lost the game. But today, huge go-ahead double. Like, come on, let's give Nathaniel Lowe some love. The king of the Nathaniels. The king of the Nathaniels. And he just,
what an honor.
The king of the Nathaniels.
Dude, I still can't believe they got Nathaniel Lowe this point of the season. It's crazy. I know he was having a down year, but come on, we know who this guy is. That could be so significant. And every at bat is just professional, whether it's a success or not. They're all good at bats. I'm thrilled about it. And I love the Daniel thing.
Daniel.
Like, I feel like most athletes wouldn't admit, like, yeah, I showed up to school and they called me Daniel instead of Nathaniel. Very, very funny game.
Hand up. Last episode I was on, so not this most recent one, the one before that, I said I did not want Nathaniel Lowe. I'm a big stupid idiot. I'm worthless. I should not run the Boston Red Sox. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I love Nathaniel Lowe.
Do you like his dad bod? I like the dad bod on Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah. He's got the Pete Alonso build. Ooh, he's got like the slim neck and just like the belly.
Hell yeah, dude. That's a ball player right there. That's what I want my first baseman to look like.
Fuck yeah, dude. He feels the ground ball. He's like, my name's Nathaniel and I'm a fucking first baseman.
And I'm going to get a 6-year extension from the Boston. No, just kidding.
I was going to say no.
Joe said he had enough said before we get out of here. What do you got for us, Joe?
I do. I feel like we need to acknowledge just what a great week it was, even though the team had lost. But what a great Jimmy Fund radio telethon we had. And if you were one of the many who gave to a record-setting donation of over $5.7 million over those 2 days, you are rock stars. But Jimmy Fund's always a great event, hearing some incredible stories. And just a great, great 2 days overall. So thank you all of you who contributed to the record-setting telethon that we had this past week. The games may not have been great, but the mood in Boston and Fenway Park was spectacular.
I was blown away, dude. That like a record, like it, not just record-setting, like record, like that record stood since 2008. Like that is a long, long time, and they didn't just beat it; like they blew it out of the water. But what was it? It was like 4.8 to 5.7.
It was around 4.8 million was the initial record, which by the way, the 23 years now of the telethon, there's been over $80 million raised.
Unbelievable. Like it really is. People like sometimes think, oh, like I can't donate a lot, so I just don't donate. Like if it really is about the magnitude of the small donations that builds up a $5.7 million record setting event like that. So yeah, was blown away by the numbers they were putting up and how fast the numbers were increasing through the games. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, that it's great. I love anything involving the community here in Boston. I do some community engagement work that I don't really talk about on the podcast, but I've been doing that for a long time. So to see the city kind of come together for a good cause, like Joe said, results of the Red Sox game aside, really fun to see. Hearing the stories, obviously sad stories, bittersweet stories, and some positive stories as well. So it tugs at the heartstrings, but I was a very proud Bostonian during the drive. So kudos to everyone involved, especially Joe.
Yeah, shout out, especially Joe. Brave.
Joe, I'm glad you brought that up. I think all of us know someone who's affected by cancer. Every year, the Jimmy Fund is always, whether it's on Nesson and they have the people on to tell their stories, whether it's during the afternoon show, the morning show, whatever it is, just the stories, everybody kind of, I love how it just interplays with the game and with the day. Like, it's not like, oh, one segment and then back to, like, it's just this continuous kind of buildup. It's just, it's an incredible weekend in Boston, and it's nothing better than every like inning when they pan over and it's up like $250,000. Like every inning, that's what it felt like this weekend. It's just, it's awesome. It's incredible. And it's, I love it every year. Shout out to Jimmy Fund. Excellent job, fellas.
Hell yeah. Shout out. And shout out to you, the listener. We appreciate you tuning in. I'm sure, I mean, damn. I love that we drop an episode after the first game of that series, because I know that if I were a listener, it's like, oh, if you're listening to Red Sox podcasts after a tough one with Baltimore, obviously, like most podcasts release after those games, and typically that's how they end up for our show too. But with this week in particular, it ended up being that we released after the first episode of the Yankee series. It allowed us to have a far more positive podcast than had we dropped a post-series Orioles related show. So glad we got to have a podcast like this. But we appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. I'm tired, man.
How are you tired?
I'm tired, man. It's midnight, and I exerted so much energy watching that game and now doing this podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. You can subscribe there. You can find the episodes on the Playtesty playlist. You can hit the thumbs up on the videos, and then find us at Playtesty on all the socials. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. 7:05. 7:05 tonight, game 2 of the Sox-Yankee series, the biggest series of the season. We will be back in your ears soon. But till then, we appreciate you tuning into this one. Peace.